The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One Assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I don't know if you saw this, but according to ESPN's Rams Nation reporter Lindsay Cleary, California Governor Gavin Newsom has said the prospect of returning to normal or having sports in the fall is almost negligible. The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. Will we get a 16-team playoff if and when college football returns? Will it be 8? Will it be 16? Will it be 2025? Will it be 2021? Will we expand the college football postseason? And when will we get college football back? Chris Fowler's laid out the options, and he said one that's gaining steam is to not kick off college football until January. Let's talk about all these issues with Dari Noka, co-host of Dari and Mel on ESPN Radio, also ESPN SEC Network host. Also, we'll be hosting ESPN Radio's NFL draft coverage next week. Dari, how are you going to do that? How do you host the draft coverage? Like, I'm serious. Like, do you put it on your TV and do it through your radio? How do you do that?
Will, it's nuts, man. I'm telling you, like everybody else, we're all doing it from home. So we got Tannenbaum at home, and we got Bart Scott at home, and Ian Fitzsimmons at home, and Jim Nagy at home, and me at home. I'll let people like inside the makings of this deal. I need to really be in a studio because I need to see what's called, you know, what the clean feed is. I don't know if everybody else does, but when you're watching the draft on your television, there's about a, 20-second delay or so. But I need to be able to see when Roger Goodell comes up to the podium, or not podium, but prepares to announce in real time. So I'm literally going to be at home in my guest room watching a Skype of our producer, Bill Enover, with a picture of his live feed in Bristol. It's weird. It's never happened before. But frankly, right now, what has, right?
That is going to be wild.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be fun because the NFL draft is always fun, and it's going to be welcome relief from the monotony of our quarantine and the depression of our economy and our public health issue. But I mean, it's going to be a different experience.
It's going to be tough, man. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's tough. Like, there's going to be three people plus me. None of us. I mean, we'll see each other on Skype or whatever we use to communicate visually, but I mean, you can imagine the number of times we'll probably be stepping on each other. But again, you know, if anybody wants to blame us for that in this day and age, look, we're still bringing you the draft on ESPN Radio for all 3 days, so deal with it, I guess, right?
Dari Noka here on the Will Cain Show. So what do you think first? Let's talk about Fowler's idea that he talked about on his Instagram Live. He said there's three different prospects for when college football could return. One, normal, kick off with the normal schedule. Number two, slightly delayed sometime into the fall. And number three, the one he said is actually gaining steam is January or February.
Yeah.
So essentially college football becomes a spring sport with the championships all played into the early summer, June perhaps. What do you think about that, Dari?
I think it's the most likely scenario. I mean, as we sit here and we watch the world right now, it's really impossible for me to fathom that sometime in July, teams are going to be able to get together and start working out. I cannot see a season that starts on time. Now, would we see a kind of a truncated 8-game type conference play only type season in late fall into January? Maybe I could kind of buy into that, but you know, from what seems realistic and most likely, given the situation we're facing, you know, spring football to me might be the front runner. And it isn't because that's the best idea. It isn't because anybody wants to have to figure out how you're going to program college football up against regular season NBA. It isn't, which ESPN would certainly have to do. It's just because having a spring college football is better than having no college football. Because as we both know, if you go an entire year without college football, it completely, at least nearly completely, destroys every other sport that a university can sponsor. And there has got to be revenue from college football somehow, some way, this season.
Dari, in your estimation, what would push college football out of its regular calendar year? Would it be, as I just read coming into this segment, governors like Gavin Newsom saying the prospect of some kind of large sports gatherings is almost negligible? Would it be what you alluded to right there, a inability to prepare for the season, picturing them in July, going to workouts, getting ready for the season? Or would it be even that college itself might not be able to gather in person? Universities bringing students together. Mm-hmm. So how, if that's the case, it's hard to say, well, but we are going to have football. You know, what is it that you think is the major factor there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's when can you safely bring people together again? And it just doesn't feel at this point like it's going to be July. There's so many unknowns. Obviously, we've gone, you know, the testing thing has been out there forever. But what else? When is it going to be okay to bring 115 people plus staff together? And what happens the first time somebody tests positive? You're done. You're not playing. You're quarantined for 2 weeks or whatever. And then all of a sudden your school is just going to say, you know what, we can't participate this season. We can't field the team. I mean, until that's not a risk anymore, I don't think you can play. And I don't know when that's not going to be a risk. I don't know that Gavin Newsom and other governors really ultimately control this thing and say there's not going to be football. I think that everybody, like the NFL is doing, would like to wait as long as they could before making any real changes. But I don't know. Do you see a way that we're going to be able to gather 130 people who test negative for coronavirus and maintain a negative test as they continue to come? Starting in July, I just can't see it. Well,
okay, hear me out. I'm just thinking my way through this like everybody else. This is my thing. I think we've all started to adopt this mindset that the goal of when we can return to some semblance of normalcy is when our risk is a drop to zero. It's when nobody gets sick, right? We either have a vaccine or we can quarantine. But I don't think that's what anybody has asked of us over the long run. I think what our elected officials and public health experts have really tried to get us to do is to bend the curve. So in other words, let's just keep our health system capable of handling those that get sick. That is ideal, not we're going to beat it by nobody getting sick, because that's an impossibility that requires us all to stay in our homes till there's a vaccine, right? I guess I can think of a scenario where hospitals are at a rate where they can handle people that get sick. We go back to doing things. We'll decide if football is one of those things that we're comfortable going back to do. And students and athletes and fans may get sick. But if the goal was to have hospitals that can help them and we've bent the curve, then that's the situation we're in. I think if the game is no one can ever get sick, we're stuck in our homes for 18 months or whatever the vaccine is. And I don't think that's the goal. I don't think anybody's – but I think we started to think like that's the goal, Dari. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. That's more than sensible. I tend to agree. And I think ultimately that's what's going to happen in this country with – we cannot suffer a completely dead economy because of the outcome of what that would be is obviously – awful too. So no, I'm with you. I do think that's where we're ultimately going to be, but I think it's, and to your point, it's a combination of having adequate healthcare workers, adequate beds, adequate equipment, but also adequate medication to improve people's chance of recovering once they get it. And I think once we have that, yes, it's going to be up to the individual to make that decision, whether it's safe or unsafe. The only thing is, are universities going to be comfortable asking or telling their student athletes, look, you guys are going to go play whether you want to go play or not. And I think that's going to be maybe the hardest sell.
All right, we saved it with not much time left, but we'll indulge it because I want to talk to you about it. Brett McMurphy has a fascinating article up on the Stadium where he said he's polled, I believe it's almost like 90% of ADs in Division I sports, and 88% of them are in on an expanded college football playoff. 11% are in on 16 teams. Reading through his article, Dari, I'm in. Now, listen, I love college football, but I'm not into the traditionalist argument that, oh, my gosh, that's going to make regular seasons meaningless. No, it's not. I think every single game will still mean something, and it will take meaningless postseason bowls and turn them into meaningful tournaments and playoffs. What do you think?
I like the idea of making those bowls matter, but I am going to give you the traditionalist take and say I don't want a playoff in college football where 8-4 teams are in it. I don't. And I realize that the 9-7 Giants won a Super Bowl. And I realize that, you know, a 6 or an 8 seed has probably won the Stanley Cup before. But to me, and you know, people will want to say, well, it's okay in those sports, or FCS does this, or D2 does this. That's great. That's great for all of them. And I got nothing against any of them. But man, why can't D1 college football be different? Why can't FBS football be different? I don't want 8-4 playing for a championship.
But you wouldn't.
That's just not the way I like the sport.
But so let's say it's 16 teams. I don't think an 8-4 team is getting in on that, right?
You still, you know,
at 16, you still think three at the most, three losses at the most, and right? I mean, You're not getting 8-4 into a 16-team playoff.
Well, okay, so think about this. An ACC Coastal team, right, goes 8-4, loses in a close, or 8-whatever. So let's say 9-3, loses a close game to number one Clemson in the ACC championship game. Now they're a four-loss team, but yeah, they actually kind of represented themselves well. That might be a top 16 team. I don't know. Maybe, and it probably kind of depends how they determine who gets in. And I look, if it's 16, Will, I'll watch every freaking game, and I will love every second of it. But over the course of the regular season, I still like the idea that you can't lose twice and feel real good about it. And that's just, that's what separates to me, in my opinion, the greatest sport around in college football from everything else.
All right, Dari Noka, host of Dari and Mel. Also, he's doing the ESPN NFL Draft on ESPN Radio. Tune in for that. That's Thursday, right? First round's Thursday night, right?
You got it. 23rd. That's it.
Excited. All right, Dari. Thanks for being on the show. I really enjoyed it, man.
Hey, yeah, good to talk to you, man. Thank you.
Okay, you too. Is the WWE essential business? The state of Florida said it is, and they can continue operating through the quarantine. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Is the WWE essential business? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Before we get into the state of Florida's decision to let the WWE continue filming its production because it's an essential business, let me follow up with a couple of things we were just talking about with Dari Noka and in our Sports Center update. First, he said, in a college football playoff, if it's expanded to 16, he just doesn't like the idea because he doesn't want an 8-4 team in college football. Nuno, our supreme leader, a.k.a. Nemo, has the final end of the season rankings. What is this, last year, Nuno? Yeah, 2019. So the 16th ranked team last year, well, this is college football playoff rankings, okay, is Iowa at 9-3. So there's 9-3 Iowa in, and at number 12, 9-3 Auburn in. And Wisconsin's up there at 10-3. So is this after championship games that you did this?
Correct. So this would be the final, the college ranking, after the championship games. So you would have four teams that had three losses, Wisconsin at 10-3, Auburn, Michigan, and Iowa, all three at 9-3.
Mm. I don't have a big problem with that. Dari does. So you got three teams that would get in with three losses. Everybody else is, let's see, you've got three undefeated teams, one-loss team, and then a bunch of two-loss teams in. And I don't think Iowa is going to beat LSU. I don't think any of those things, but I think that game is meaningful and we'll watch it as opposed to the bowl games that, what did Iowa play in last year? I don't even know what Iowa went to. This Citrus Bowl? What'd they go to? It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me that, three lost teams get in. And I don't think it makes the regular season meaningless either. Most of the time, it's going to be one loss, two loss, and no loss teams in. You're going to be competing all through the regular college football season to avoid that third loss for 90% of the participants. I do not think it would make the college football season meaningless in any way. I also wanted to follow up on this from our SportsCenter update. None of it really resonated for me in the way, like, I don't know who Kyle Larson is. I'm not a huge NASCAR guy. I was back in the 2000s. Got into it a little bit. invested in Bobby Labonte, went to a few races, had a great time, by the way. Great in-person event, NASCAR. Went to the infield, spent the night, did the whole camping thing. It was really fun. But didn't let that go. Not a big NASCAR guy. On top of that, not a big virtual sports guy, meaning I haven't been watching the 2K stuff with Patrick Beverly taking on DeAndre Ayton. No, not into it. Haven't been watching, how do you call it? IRL? Is it Interactive Racing League? Is that what it's called with these NASCAR guys getting simulators and race against each other? Did I get that right? Apparently, during one of those races, Kyle Larson used a racial slur. He used the N-word. And first, all of his sponsors started dropping him. Then he was suspended. And the breaking news today is he's been fired by his team owner, Ganassi Racing. Nuno, I don't know if you have the answer to this, but I do want to go to you. In the SportsCenter update, it says that he was a free agent, and this could cost him eight figures. It's potentially an eight-figure blunder doing this. How's that work? Like, he could have signed with any team this offseason or whatever, with any racing team, and we got paid more than eight figures, and now he's out cold. Is that what that is?
It sounds like that he was a free agent, he could have signed, and that his deal that he would have signed could have been up to eight figures, yes.
That is one hell of a mistake. That's one hell of a blunder, as the article reads. I mean, clearly, it's unacceptable, the language that he used. I think they talked about it on First Take today at Jay Williams, Stephen A. Smith talking about it. I don't have that sound in front of me right now, but I mean, you can't do that. He used the N-word. It's horrendous. It's more than anything. I mean, he's going to cost him a lot of money, but it's also a stain on his reputation. It's a stain on his character. And we'll see if Kyle Larson is capable of rebounding from something like that. And then there's this. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has deemed the WWE essential business, so its employees can keep going into work, its productions can continue, and we can keep watching, if we're into it, WWE throughout this quarantine. Now, a lot of people are crushing it, like, oh my God, I can't believe WWE is deemed an essential business. But I found two things fascinating about this. One, aren't things that bring us together? I know that sports aren't that important. And Bill Plaschke of the LA Times was on our show the other day, and he said, Will, when you start bringing things back from this quarantine, aren't sports pretty low down the list? But I got to thinking, I don't know that it is. Right now, we are so pulled apart, so quarantined, so isolated. Anything that brings us together, anything with any semblance of communal nature to it, including, I think, the WWE, which you guys know I'm not the hugest fan. I've been, you know, dallying in some curiosities about the WWE over the last couple of weeks. I think things that bring us together are going to move closer and closer to essentials. This entire experience is going to be more than about the public health risk. It's going to be about the economic damage and the depression, the job loss, the physical health problems that extend from that as well. And I'm not saying WWE is a cure all to that, but I do know that we need things to bring us together. I do know that we need things to distract us. I do know that we need live events that we're all participating in together, because what we need is connection. I'm sure there was some behind the scenes politicking and glad handing going on that helped get WWE the essential business. And that's not, obviously that's not cool, because there's a ton of businesses out there that need that designation to continue operating. But I think the second point is, moving forward, the role of sports and bringing us back together, as Drew Brees has pointed out and others, it's going to be integral because of those things I just described. It is going to be very important to have things that bring us together. And if that doesn't connect us, doesn't check the boxes for something essential, my prediction is we're going to be changing the boxes very soon. We're all going to start realizing what we need, what is necessary for us to get through this mentally healthy, not just physically, but mentally healthy. All right, coming up, where would Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, and Justin Herbert rank if we included the last draft class as well? What if we threw in Kyler Murray? Where would these guys rank with Daniel Jones? That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
I have two questions, and one's easier to answer than the other. Is Christian McCaffrey a unicorn? Are the Carolina Panthers a unicorn? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Yesterday, the breaking news was that the Carolina Panthers had made Christian McCaffrey the highest-paid running back in the NFL. 4 years, $64 million. Christian McCaffrey will make $16 million a year. And it defies a convention that has begun to be believed as gospel outside of football. And that is, you should not pay the running back. But let's answer our two questions. First, is Christian McCaffrey a unicorn? If he is, perhaps the Carolina Panthers are making the right choice in defying that convention. Yes, I believe he is a unicorn. Last year, he had over 1,000 yards receiving and 1,000 yards rushing, and he caught 116 yards. The only guys to do that, 116 catches. The only guys to do that in NFL history are Marshall Faulk and Roger Craig. He has, through the first 3 years of his NFL career, over 2,500 yards rushing and 2,500 yards receiving. I think he's the only guy in NFL history to do that. He's not just a running back. He's an all-purpose back. As we had, I think it was Marcus Spears that said it earlier in the show, he's like a slot back. He's essentially serving in the role as slot receiver as much as he is as running back. He is what Le'Veon Bell wanted to be and want to be paid as, both a receiver and a running back. So there's no doubt that Christian McCaffrey is a unicorn in terms of his production. He's a non-traditional back. As Marcus Spears told us, he's different than Zeke and Saquon and Derrick Henry. And Dominique Foxworth, ESPN's NFL analyst, was get up saying it's not ridiculous to say he is somebody you build around. Listen.
I think it's an oversimplification to say that you can't build a team this way. And it's like, I think some analytics guys kind of live in a vacuum. And I think ideally you may not want to build a team that way. But if your best player is versatile, can catch the ball, can throw the ball, can run the ball, and that's the best player you have, then you have to figure out a way to build a team around them. Sports is full of all these cliches. You can't do it this way. You can't do it that way until it's done. Like, you can look at what the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson. You can look at what the Warriors have done with shooting threes. These are all things that people once said you can't win doing. And now we see it happening. So if you start from scratch and I could design a team exactly the way I wanted to design a team, maybe I wouldn't invest so much in a running back. But this is the hand that they're dealt. Their best player, their most dynamic player is a running back, and they should pay him now while he is still valuable and try to figure out a new innovative way to win around him.
I would add to that, Christian McCaffrey is not under any injury heightened risk. He doesn't have any history of injury that should cause concern, like Todd Gurley when the Rams gave him his deal. But Gurley isn't the only model you're trying to avoid here. The NFL, the reason we've come to this convention that you don't pay running backs is because it's been proven over several different players, from Devontae Freeman with the Falcons to David Johnson with the Cardinals to Le'Veon Bell with the Jets, who almost immediately regretted giving him that deal, to Todd Gurley with the Rams. And we'll see about Ezekiel Elliott with the Cowboys. There are many people pointing out if they hadn't paid Zeke, it'd been easier for them to pay Dak Prescott by now. But that's a lot of running backs in a row who have basically failed to live up to these lofty contracts they've been given, and it would warn anyone against giving future running backs these big-time deals. We've already established lack of injury and unique production makes Christian McCaffrey a unicorn. But then that brings me to my second question. Are the Panthers a unicorn? Because even if you decide that you want to pay a running back, I am of the firm belief that is something you do at the tail end of your franchise build, not as a foundational building block. You heard Dominique say there is no formula. Maybe they can pioneer some new way. But that's at least recognizing that would be a new way. Because Christian McCaffrey is essentially going to be a Carolina Panther for the next 3 years. Are the Panthers going to be in contention for those 3 years? Because if not, McCaffrey's going to be touching the ball 500 times a year, burning up his usability, his legs, his injury tolerance, while they are floundering in the build process? Are they a unicorn in that they can invest in the running back first, not last? Running backs, I think, are more like an interior decorator stepping in and finishing out the house, not throwing down the slab and the foundation of the house. There's something you bring in that final year or two as you're reaching contention, not 3-4 years out as you're trying to reboot a team. So it's not just this McCaffrey unicorn. Are the Panthers a unicorn? Because they don't look anywhere close to contending right now. But Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst, was saying there's another reason that the Panthers paid McCaffrey. Here's what he had to say.
When you went to Carolina Panthers games last year, there were some 22 jerseys out there. There were probably a lot of 22 jerseys. But more than that, there were number one jerseys. That guy isn't there. You need a face of the franchise. You need somebody to get people into the stands. And so signing Teddy Bridgewater, that doesn't do that. But getting Christian McCaffrey into this team for the next 5 to 6 years when he'll be 29 years old, that's something that the people can get around, get excited about. So you're paying for production. You're paying to have a face of the franchise. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you are paying for championships.
No, it doesn't. And in fact, I would say it means you're paying for non-football related reasons. If you're paying someone to be your face of the franchise, you're essentially paying $16 million a year for someone to serve as your mascot. Now, I think Christian McCaffrey, I don't mean that to be insulting because he's great. Christian McCaffrey is absolutely going to carry that team. But the question is, how far can a running back carry a team? You don't want to pay $16 million for somebody just because you don't have any other stars on your roster. You don't want to pay $16 million for somebody to be the face of your franchise. You want to pay it because they are going to tangibly affect the outcome of your season, help you win a championship. I don't think the Panthers are going to be anywhere near competing for a championship during the first 3 years of this contract, which, by the way, is the time frame before they have an out. The Panthers have an out in this contract, I believe, after 3 years. Which leads you to this. If McCaffrey's a unicorn, but the Panthers are not, would they have been better off trading Christian McCaffrey than paying him? Remember, they had 2 years left on this deal. There's 2 years left of team control on Christian McCaffrey. The final year of his rookie deal and a fifth-year option. What could you get for McCaffrey? What could a team who is trying to reboot, rebuild, possibly going to draft a quarterback, definitely just brought in a new one in Teddy Bridgewater. Did you get a first? Could you get more than a first? If you're the Arizona Cardinals, apparently you can get the best wide receiver of the league in DeAndre Hopkins for a running back. Imagine if that's what you can get for David Johnson. Imagine what the Panthers could get for Christian McCaffrey. Hell, maybe they can get Deshaun Watson for Christian McCaffrey. I don't know. I'm being facetious here. But the point is, if you're a team in rebuild, maybe the assets you get back for Christian McCaffrey are more valuable to you in your pursuit of a championship than the $16 million you give to Christian McCaffrey as what he is, one of the best running backs in the league. It's not about McCaffrey. He is a unicorn. It's about the Panthers. They aren't going to be a unicorn. The New York Giants are in the same position. I said the same thing about them when they drafted Saquon Barkley. They weren't in close to contention. And I think that's going to be proven out. Watch as Saquon's contract years and legs are burned up during they're on a non-contending team floundering once again at the top of the draft in New York. You draft Saquon when you are close to becoming a contender, when you're on the playoff push. Now the Panthers have done the same thing the Giants did, but they did it to the tune of $16 million. They're not a unicorn. He is.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
I want to share another victory with you guys. Have you seen Nuno, Mike A, Bubba, this story floating around? And I think this story is on every news outlet right now. I think I saw it on SB Nation. I think I saw it on Drudge Report. It's in all of them. Have you seen about the guy who had a surprise gift from his coworkers, I believe. They took him for a flight in a military fighter jet. Did you see that?
I did not. No.
Did not. None of you. Nuno, did you see
it? I saw it. Yeah, I saw it.
Okay. Don't tell them what happened. Okay. So, Mike, you remember I got to do this a few years ago with First Take. We did a live show, right. The Will Cain Show from Arizona, right? And it was awesome. And I did, yes, I'm bragging. I think I did 9.3 Gs. I have a pin somewhere. 9.3 Gs, which I'm told by, I was with the Air Force. I'm told by the pilots, that's big time stuff. And I did start to pass out a little bit. I didn't pass out, but I saw the world closing in on the right side. It was just like my right eye started to go black a little bit. And he did it several times, and not to that level. That was the one big turn he pulled. But, you know, I mean, when they're taking off, 4 Gs is like, you're like, oh my gosh. And the entire prep process is all about helping you not pass out and helping you not puke, essentially. And you wear a G suit that constricts your legs. So it literally, when the G's start pulling in the plane, the pants you're wearing fill with air to squeeze your legs so all the blood doesn't rush down to your feet, because that's how you pass out. So you're literally like a balloon filled with water. It wants to squeeze the bottom so it all stays up at the top. And it's kind of like an intimidating process. Well, this dude, he's 64 years old, and his coworkers surprise him with a birthday present. And they take him, I don't know if it was Air Force or Navy they were going to take him to, and he's going to do a fighter. He's going to go up in a fighter jet, all right? Well, they said during, he was wearing an Apple Watch or something like that that monitors his heart rate. They said during the prep process, which I was describing to you, because you got to go through a training video, you got to get fitted for your suit and all that, he started to go into tachycardia, which is an elevated heart rate. I think they said his watch said his heart rate was up around 140, 150. And so there was a little bit of concern before they even got in the plane. All right, you keeping up so far?
I'm with you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So he goes up. He never wanted to do this. It was never a dream of his. He didn't know why his coworkers kind of got it, and he's terrified of it. But they get past it. I guess to some extent they slow his heart rate down. They get him up in the plane, and I don't know how quickly it is into the flight, but they pull, and I think this is what they said, one of the G's you can pull is straight up. So like when you take off and they just go straight up, nose into the air, that's one of the things. And you're just kind of like, you know, you're just holding everything. Well, when he does that and the guy's going straight up in the air, he panics and he looks for something to grab to like stabilize himself. What do you think he grabbed?
The eject button?
He grabbed the ejection handle.
What?
Yes, he grabs the ejection handle.
Okay.
He shoots out of the plane. There's a picture.
Oh, my God.
There's a picture of the 64-year-old dude parachuting down. He's fine. He didn't get physically hurt. But can you just imagine this dude that was going to tachycardia in the prep, right, in the instructional video?
Wow.
Can you imagine what he was feeling as he was shooting out of that plane? As before the parachute deploys, I bet it wasn't happy birthday. I bet that's not what he was thinking. See if we can book that guy.
You think
I'd like
he's
to talk
cursing
to
out Karen on the as he's floating down?
Oh,
you know, Karen
gosh.
From the office, who you know arranged it.
It's got to be so good. I would love to have a camera on
sending
him.
Her running with the Bulls next year for her birthday.
By the way, they show you videos of guys that pass out or people that also they lose oxygen, so they start saying crazy things. They show you. I bet there was a camera on me. I bet there was a camera on him. I would love to see that as he's shooting out of the plane. Let's try to book him. I'm serious. I want to get him on the show.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.